I want to share for just a few minutes. I'm going to get us out so that we can jump in the growth track right behind me, 30 minutes. Just decide right now. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do it. It's going to be exciting. I want to talk for just a moment. I wanted to share a little bit about the last few weeks that I believe God is taking us down. I believe he's doing something new. Have you felt it as you walk in even and experience the service? There's a fresh outpouring. There's a newness of his spirit that he's pouring out into us. And I just wanted to talk about this for a moment. You know, I had some cute 2019 sermons ready to go. Really what I thought was cute, really what I thought would be entertaining. And God said, throw it away. And so I went back before God and I said, all right, if you don't want me to be cute and be and rhyme and entertain, what do you want me to convey? And I believe this is a message that is straight from the voice of the Holy Spirit for us to receive today. And so, God, I do stop for a moment and just say, anoint my words, anoint the things that I've prepared. Let me be in tune with what you want to say today, God. Let me not be in the way, Lord, but let me be used by you in Jesus' name. I encourage you in the next few moments to open your heart and allow it to not just be my words, but tune into what heaven is saying over us. Tune into what I believe God is saying over us. I said it last week, and this is something I cannot get away from, is the truth is God is pouring out as much as of himself as we want and we can contain. And it's not something that limits that flow of God. It's us that decides that's enough, God. I've been with some of y'all eating dinner. And I'm not going to say who it is individually because I'm right there. There's a point when we're eating dinner where you have to say enough's enough and push away, right? Eating at my parents' house, I say enough's enough about 5 times in one meal. And then the dessert comes and then you say one more. And I believe this is the posture we are presenting before God, is saying, Lord, let us not limit what you want to do in our lives, but Lord, just keep pouring it out over us. Keep pouring it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're a few days into the new year. How is your New Year's resolution doing? You go into the gym, you eating what you're supposed to eat, you working a little less, get home in time for dinner. What's the New Year's resolution that you've made? And this new year that is turned over in the calendar also presents us new opportunities in our decision and walk with God. Are we going to start saying yes to God? Yes to what he wants to do in our lives so that he can do it through our lives. Last week we talked about taking all of those frustrations, disappointments, disillusionments, hurts, past, and placing it in our hands and then having the opportunity to drop it before the Lord. And stuff that we were never meant to carry, that we've hitched on to our backs, and we're walking in heaviness that we're never meant to walk in. Scripture tells us to shake off that spirit of heaviness, and I encourage us to do that daily. It's not a one-time experience. The enemy constantly tries to set things in our path and constantly baits us to pick it up and carry things we were never meant to carry. And last week, we went through this exercise of placing everything in our hands and dropping it and accepting God's love. And one thing we talked about was the cross and nailing things to the cross. And it was an opportunity for us to physically demonstrate what I believe we're doing in the Spirit, is leaving things here and not carrying them as we leave this afternoon. And this opportunity is for all of us. We can decide right now if we want to stop carrying those things that are never meant for us to do, leave them at the foot of the cross, accept God's forgiveness over us, and to begin walking in his love. See, God's love. Can I talk just a little bit about love? God's love covers all of our sin. God's love reaches us no matter where we are in life. God's love is not dependent on how good we are versus our bad days. In our calendar, did we have a good day? Did we read God's word today? Check. Did we sin? I don't think so. Check. That means God loves us more. No. See, God's love is greatest for us when we're at our worst. That's the way the love of God is in our lives. There's nothing that can limit God's love in our lives. It's not like love found here on earth. Love found on earth is depending on what you can do for me. It's depending on your behavior, how good you are in this marriage. Are you being a good husband and doing the dishes? I'm preaching to myself right now. Are you doing the to-do list? Are you knocking it out, the honey to-do list? And then, now I'm accepting. No. See, God's love is not like man's love. God's love, it's never ending. God's love, it'll never leave you. It'll never fade away. God's love won't back off when it finds out about your past. It embraces who you are. It welcomes you just as you are this morning. When I'm unfaithful, His love remains faithful. This love also casts out all of our fear. This love, it breaks the shame in our lives. And it breaks this disappointment that we tend to carry around with us. And when we bring it to the Father, we have a choice to make right now, is if we'll accept God's love for us, is if we'll begin walking in that love. Another opportunity we have this morning is to accept God's forgiveness for us. Accept God's forgiveness. I want to read some scripture here, and I want us to open our hearts to what I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us, not to doubt this love and acceptance of God. Because when we start doubting if we're accepted, when we start doubting if God's love can reach us where we are, what we start doing is we align ourselves with the enemy. I love this saying, and I can't shake it off. It's when we say yes to this lie of the enemy, all of a sudden our thinking changes. Now our thinking is based upon our performance instead of our acceptance in God's kingdom. Instead of our position as a son and daughter of the King, now we're thinking we've got to perform better or be better when we agree with the lie of the enemy. This goes back to Genesis chapter 3. People wonder why I don't like snakes. It's because read Genesis chapter 3. Right? Our adversary, the devil, comes as this serpent slithering around a tree. And what does this serpent say? If you don't know, open your word. You need to just read this every day this week. What does the serpent say? First of all, it's a snake talking. Definitely chop the head off. I mean, no questions there. Second of all, this is what the serpent says. Did God really say? And then another translation said, did God really mean this? How many have ever heard that from the enemy? This is what the enemy tells us. The enemy tells us, did God really say that promise was going to come true? Did God really say your children would be saved? Did God really say you're going to get through this difficult financial situation? Did God really say you're going to be healed? Did God really say? This is what the enemy does. And when we start agreeing with the lie of the enemy, all of a sudden, there goes faith. There goes faith. And here's some scripture to read over us at this moment. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Come on, if you have your scripture, open it up. If you've got your phone, that's fine. Get off Facebook and now let's read some word, right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we accept forgiveness of God, God sending His Son Jesus, making a way for us to now be in right standing with God the Father. Isaiah 43, verse 25 and 26. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Receive that promise of God right now. That as we lay our sin before God. See, it's so funny to me because I'm going to regret this later, but I have a teenager. And sometimes teenagers think they're slick, right? They think they know. I mean, I'm going to stop talking right there, right? I don't want to get in too much trouble. And what I find is we tend to walk in that as well as adults. And we come to church and we think we can hide our sin. We think we can hide our pain. We think we can hide our grief. We think we can hide all these things. and put on a good face in front of others. And what is really happening, I love, Josh said it so well last week. If you haven't listened to the sermon last week, go on the website and listen to it. It was great. We had a panel up here with four different people. It was just so much fun. Josh said so good that when the Father walks in, everything is exposed. You can't hide it anymore. You can't pretend anymore. You can't act like you're okay and you're really not. We can't pretend anymore that we're blessed and highly favored when we're broke and rejected, right? We can't pretend anymore. The Father walks in and all things are exposed. And I love this promise in Isaiah. He'll never think of them again. He'll never think of them again. And I believe God, through His Holy Spirit, is telling us today, God is not holding your sin against you. Why are you holding your sin against yourself? Why is that? Well, we're human, right? And then at times our mind wanders and we can't at times get past our past. We can't get past where we've let someone down, where we've lied and been found out, or we've stolen and we've been caught, right? We cheated and we've been caught. Sometimes we just can't get past those things. And the beautiful part about it is when we come to the Father and we accept what His Son Jesus has done for us, the shedding of the blood. Why do we talk so much about blood? Because there's life through that blood. There's hope through that blood. There's freedom from our past from that blood. And when we accept Jesus into our hearts, and we open our hearts and willingly lay out of our sins, we confess our sins. The Scripture says He's faithful and just, yes. But also Scripture says that He don't think about it anymore. And when we're reminded of our sin, it's not God. It's that snaky serpent coming down the tree. We need to cut his head off, right? It's the enemy reminding us of our past. I just keep pointing to people. I know, Soccer, I love Jason. Jason said he wants to always remind us of our past because he can't change his future. So good. He's gonna hold us to our past because he knows what's coming. And what's coming is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords on that horse coming back for us, the bride of Christ, where the enemy will be defeated and we will rule and reign with Christ. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. So I was thinking the other day, we have some equipment at the house that's not working right. We have some electronics that have some difficulty. And one of these electronics, one of the things to do was to unplug it. Anybody have any electronics like that? And the first thing it tells you to do is try to reset it. Hold the power button down. Lick your finger. Hold it in the wind. Count to 7 3/4. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, then hopefully it'll reboot. And if that doesn't happen, then just go unplug it and then plug it back in. And I believe this new year, God is giving us the opportunity to hit the reset button here and now. That it doesn't matter your past disappointments, your past frustrations, your past difficulties. Right now, here in the presence of the Lord, we can hit the reset button. And there might be somebody that you just got to unplug and plug back in. See, what happens is the enemy will pile so much upon our hearts and our minds that sometimes it takes a hard reboot. Can I go through some of these terms? I love some of these terms. A hard reboot. This goes back to my day when the internet used to go chicken. Right? And you got a CD in the mail and you only had 1,500 hours. And you're like, man, that seems like a lot. But you don't realize how long it takes to get on the internet. I know this is new for some of you. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Google it. It's hilarious. But this is one of the terms that we were told. Just reboot the system. Just do a hard reset. God, through His Spirit, is giving our church, our leadership, and all of us the opportunity to have a hard reset right now. Now, don't let your past steps determine your future steps. If you're really disappointed by the way the year ended, don't start this year that same way. Let's come before the Father and say, "Give me a hard reboot right now. It's gonna hurt. You might lose some data, right? You might lose that Word document, but unplug and then plug back in, and allow God to do something new." This is something that Jesus referenced to some religious leaders. Jesus stopped and he starts asking the question, why? See, this story is found in Matthew chapter 6. That sometimes we do things and they start becoming stale. Anybody have some stale food in your kitchen, in your fridge? Most of you don't, because you throw it out immediately, right? You don't put up with it. You don't allow that smell in your house. You think it's your one of your seven-year-old kids, something under his bed. No, it's in your fridge. You got something stale. So you walk in there and you throw it out immediately. But it's surprising the way we put up with stale religion in our lives. And we welcome it, and then we just live with it. We wonder why God's not doing something new in our lives. It's because we become stale. And what has happened is we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to do something new in our lives. Jesus starts addressing this. Jesus constantly challenged the religious leaders and religious practices that have gone stale. The original meaning and its purpose is lost, and now it's just simply a public ritual. Lord, help us. Help me here in this moment, because I don't want to say something you don't want to be said. Matthew 6:1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Do we do things at times to be seen by others? It's taken me 20 minutes to get to this point. I'm sorry, but this is the meat of it. Do we do what we do to be seen by people in this room? Or do we do what we do to honor and glorify God the Father? So we take all those things that we're doing now and we put them through this funnel right now, right here. The reason why we lead worship and sing at a loud volume, is it to be seen by men? The reason why I picked out this shirt, was it to be impressed by? No, it's a cowboy shirt. I didn't want to wear the jersey. My jersey's a little long, so that's why I chose this shirt, right? I mean, why do we do what we do? Why do we come in this service and hold at times arm's length to what God's doing in our lives? Or why do we flamboyantly try to do things to be accepted by man? This is the funnel to pass things through. This is an opportunity for us to reset. Mark chapter 2. Then I'm going to close, I promise. Mark chapter 2. Whew. Some things start happening that aren't normal. Some things that God is doing around this church right now aren't very normal. And this is what happens to Jesus, is Jesus starts getting questioned. Matthew chapter 2, verse 18. Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new cloth would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before." Verse 22, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wine skins." I didn't want to post this sermon as titled "New Wine." I think some people would show up excited or misled or for the wrong reason. And we're not passing out wine. We did do grape juice, but we're not passing out wine. But see, I don't want us to get caught up on the terminology here or the word wine. I want us to zoom out a little bit, if you will, with me, and let's just receive this example from Jesus. At times, do you have the question, "We've never done that before"? Have you ever asked the question, "I've never seen that before"? We've never done it that way in the past. And I believe what God wants us to do is not to put him in a man-made box. This omnipresent, omniscient, holy, created God who created heaven and earth, and we want to put him in a man-made box for an hour and a half? I mean, come on, let's zoom out and say, if he's the creator of all of heaven and earth, if he's the creator of all the beauty that we see, he's the creator of this body. I don't understand how this body works. I can move my fingers. I can talk. My blood's pumping without me realizing it. I'm breathing without me realizing it. Our God is a creative God who there is no limit to what he can do. And so the first thing we do in 2019 is we say, God, help us take off the limits. And one way we are doing that in a tangible way is by giving money away. We say, take off the limits financially. That calls us to trust in you as our provider. And I promise we're going to be good stewards with the money. I'm not saying every week we're giving money away. Don't, please, I've already had that question. I'm not saying we're going to be doing this all. This is a first fruit offering we're doing. But I believe this is an obedience to God, and we're showing him he's our provider and we place him first. Amen. Everything else will be taken care of. That's what we believe. And I encourage you to do this in your life. Some of you who aren't giving on a regular basis, I encourage you to start doing it. And this is why. It's because we recognize God as our provider. We recognize that he is our source. And I'm gonna end right here. Musicians, if you'll come. I believe what Jesus is referring to as wine is something essential in this analogy. That wine represents the Holy Spirit in our lives. Wine represents what God wants to do. What is the wineskin? The wineskin is simply, it's just simply the instrument, right? The vessel. We have instruments on the stage. What happens when one of these instruments will not play the way it's created to do, and we work on it and it won't be fixed? What do? We get rid of it. Why? Because it becomes more of a distraction than a tool. Are you with me? I know there's a lot of moving around. Just hang with me for just a minute. That instrument now becomes a distraction and not a tool that can be used for the Lord. And so in our lives, we have that question to stop right now and say, not if the Holy Spirit is pouring out his presence, not if there's more power that God has, not if there's more room we can make for God in our lives. The question is not, is God moving through his Holy Spirit? The question is, what is the condition of the wineskin we're presenting to God? What is the condition? How are you hosting the presence of God? Are you making room for God in your lives? Are we willing to say no to some good things, to say yes to some God things in our lives? To make some room, to make some margin. Say, God, I want to be used by you in a greater capacity in 2019. But you're so busy, you don't have time for anything. Say, God, I want to give like I've never given before, but you struggle to give in the offering. Say, God, I want to be used greater than I've ever been used. And the Holy Spirit says, go pray for that person at the grocery store. And you say, oh, I'm too busy. I don't think that was the Lord. I think I had Taco Bell last night. I don't think that's what the Lord wants me to do. No, God. And see, we pray these prayers, but there's no action to it. And I believe this is what Jesus, through this scripture, the Holy Spirit has laid out for us right now at 12 o'clock on a Sunday. Is saying, what is the condition of the wineskin that you carry? What is the condition of this wineskin? God pouring his spirit into us. Us doing things the way we've always done them. Us doing things the way we like them. And then all of a sudden we stop experiencing God the way we're used to. We stop hearing God's voice. When we pray, it feels like it hits the heavens and come down. Maybe it's the wineskin. It's not God, it's you. Maybe it's us and this opportunity to bring our hearts before God and say, Lord, I present myself as a vessel, as an instrument to be used by you. I'm not going to get real technical here. I know this is goofy. These guitars, they constantly have to be tuned. There's a stretching involved with tuning. There's an uncomfortableness that happens in the tuning process. When we present ourselves to God as an instrument, don't be surprised that you start getting stretched. Don't be surprised that the Holy Spirit will start convicting of things we've never been convicted of. This isn't a legalistic message. This is a holiness message of bringing us back to a place of standing before God in right standing, not with dirty hands. and then asking God to use us in ways we can only dream of. No, let's first go check our heart. Let's go make some things right with God, and then let's present ourselves. Amen. Will you stand all in this place? God, we thank you for the word. We thank you for what you're depositing into us. And Lord, we accept that challenge of answering the question, what condition is the wineskin we're presenting? The wineskin is simply a vessel being used here. And Lord, I believe that's what you made us all to be, is vessels. Vessels that can reach where we work. Vessels that can reach where we live. Vessels that can reach our neighbors, reach our friends. Vessels used by you on purpose for your calling in our lives. And Lord, I pray right now all over this place, we just say yes to you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Because God, we want to see. We want to see miracles. We want to see this church be a light in this area. Like a city on a hill. Like a lamp that's been lit in darkness. That's what we want to see here. We want this place to be a house of freedom, a place of restoration, a place of deliverance, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to present to you a vessel that you can use, that we'd get out of the way and let you do what you want. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you sing that bridge a little bit?
Chains fall.
Yes.
Fear.